Revisiting those defining moments is what Galilee is all about. When God moved us, when He called us, when He changed us, when He lifted us, when He ignited our hearts. Do you remember that time? When He gave us a dream.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we are continuing the message entitled, You Will Find Me in Galilee. This is chapter 2 on the series we call Wood for the Fire. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
Today in part 2 of the message, You Will Find Me in Galilee, we're going to continue our look at how Galilee was the place where Jesus first called His disciples. Without a second thought, they dropped what they were doing and started following Jesus. We might say that Galilee was the turning point, the defining moment place where the disciples' lives were changed forever. And it was to Galilee that Jesus called them to meet Him again following His resurrection. And you have to ask, why Galilee? Well, we're going to answer that question today. So let's find the answer in part 2 of the message, You Will Find Me in Galilee.
3 years earlier, it had all begun in Galilee, and it occurred to me, Jesus knew what the crucifixion was going to do to them. He knew it would shatter them, shake them, rattle them. He knew that they would become discombobulated, disillusioned, discouraged. And so He said, I'm going to take you back to where it all began in Galilee. He was leading His shattered, shaken disciples back to their spiritual roots. Let's look at this for a minute. First, did you know that Galilee was the place where the disciples had first met Jesus? Galilee was the place where they first met Jesus. On that defining moment day, I have thought about this. And as I read about this particular story this week, I let my imagination go and I tried to imagine what it must have been like. On that defining moment day, they're just out there doing their normal thing. Peter and Andrew, James and John, they're out there fishing. And all of a sudden, a man, capital M, man, a man, unlike any man they had ever seen before, stood on the seashore, appeared on the seashore. All of a sudden, he was there. Now, they're just doing their usual thing, and all of a sudden, there is a man there. He's a stranger. When they first look at him, they do not know who he is. They've never seen him according to the Word of God, and although he knows all about them being God, yet they didn't know him. They looked and there's a stranger, and that's okay. There stood a stranger, no big deal. But all of a sudden, he looks at Peter and Andrew, and they're busy casting their net. They're doing the job, same job they've done all their life. They're just taking care of business, taking care of work, doing the same old, workaday world, punching the clock, catching the fish, taking them home, cleaning the fish, cleaning the nets. And this man appears on the shore and looks them in the eye. And he said something that at face value, I'm telling you, was totally ludicrous. He said, follow me. Follow you where? Look at what he said. Come and follow me. I will make you to become fishers of people. Catch this, everybody. Jesus stepped right into their normal, everyday, same old, workaday world and spoke a life-changing word to them. And that's exactly what he does to you and me. We're going through normal life and Jesus comes knocking. Jesus approaches and Jesus says, follow me. And he added something else. He added something very intriguing. Catch this. A promise of change and transformation. He said, follow me. And if you follow me, I'm going to make you to become something that apart from me, you would never be. I tell you, our Jesus is a life changer. Our Jesus is not a bunch of rules and regulations and thou shouldest, couldest, wouldest, and do this and do that, and thou shalt not this and that and the other. No, Jesus is a life-changing Savior. And he said to them, if you will follow me, I'm going to make you become something. Now, I love words, and I know words matter a lot, especially in the Bible. And that word become is from the Greek word ginomai. And ginomai means to emerge, to come into being. It's like you have a flower seed. You've got this flower seed, and you put it in the ground. It's just a little bitty seed. You put it in the ground. You cover it up with dirt. You put water on it. And after a while, up from the ground comes this green shoot, and then little leaves, and then a beautiful blossoming flower. And that seed comes into being something that it wasn't when you put it into the ground. Jesus is talking about a radical, life-changing experience where you, like a seed, are sown into him and into his kingdom, and he makes you to become something. He didn't say to them, I'm going to teach you how to persuade men. He said, you are going to become a soul saver. You are going to become a witness. You are going to do what you do because it's going to be who you are. I'm going to change you. If you follow me, you're going to become something you'd have never otherwise been. How many of you can testify that ever since you started following Jesus, he's been doing some things in you that shocks the people around you? Nobody can believe that this has happened to you. I think my family is still in a state of shock. What in the world happened to Jeffrey? Well, I can tell you it wasn't a New Year's resolution, and I can tell you it wasn't rehab, and I can tell you it was not turning over a new leaf. One day, a Savior came and said to me, follow me, Jeff. And if you follow me, I'm going to make you become something you would never have been apart from me. What a powerful Savior we serve. Now, I got to think about this scene, this scenario. Here's this stranger standing on the shore, says to them, follow me, and I'm going to make you become. Now, here's old Peter. He's midlife. He's a lifelong fisherman. He's a salty old, crusty old fisherman. It's all he's ever known. And this 30-year-old or so young man stands on the shore and says, follow me, Peter, and I'm going to make you become a fisher of people. Now, let's tell the truth. In any similar situation, the normal response would have been, follow you? What do you mean, follow you? Follow you? Who are you? Follow you where? Where'd you come from? Who are you that we should follow you? And by the way, where are you going? Take it a step further. Normally, these two brothers, as well as us, would have looked at a stranger that just walks up out of nowhere that we've never seen and says, follow me. We would have looked at him with a nod and a wink as if to say, where are the men in white coats you have apparently escaped from? Or we would have thought, he's a cult or something. But listen, Jesus was different. I'm going to tell you, Jesus was different. He had to be. He was compelling. 30-year-old young man, the Bible tells us in Isaiah that there was nothing beautiful about him personally, physically. He was not a looker. He was not a strikingly handsome man. Isaiah told us that. There is no beauty in him that we would desire him. But at the same token, he was compelling. Something about Jesus was magnetic. It was irresistible. His face, his expression, the way he stood, the authority in his voice, all testified that this man was like no one they had ever encountered before. Jesus just said, follow me. Either he was God and had the authority to say that, or he was crazy. Heaven spoke through him. Had to have. These men standing there in the middle of a regular day, here he comes, follow me. There had to be something about this man that was so amazing, so attractive. The Bible tells us that the very next thing they did, they immediately left their nets. Immediately left their nets. That'd be like you walking out of your job. That'd be like you giving up your own business, because this was their own business. This was their own business. They had a boat. They had nets. This was their livelihood. They immediately left their nets and just started following Jesus, who started just kind of walking. And they started following. What kind of man was this? Stop and think of what this means. These men were men with families. They had bills to pay. They had children to feed. They had lives to live. They had wives waiting for them at home. And yet they immediately dropped their nets and walked away from everything at the beck and call of Jesus Christ. Now, that happened in Galilee. You will see me. You will find me in Galilee. Very next thing, Jesus got, he's got Peter and Andrew behind him. He's walking. He goes a little further down the seashore. There's James and John. Do you know that James and John did exactly the same thing? It says immediately, same word used, immediately, they left their boat and their father and followed him. Walked away from dad. Jesus didn't call dad. He called the boys. Can you imagine the dad? Hey, what about the boat? Take care of it, dad. Heaven has come knocking. There's something about this man. I must follow him. This is the call of divinity, the call of the divine, the call of God on me. What a powerful, what a memory-making, defining moment this was for them. So compelling was Jesus, so appealing his call, so irresistible his person, that these normal blue-collar type working men walked away from everything without a second thought to follow Jesus. He does the same thing today. And you, if you know Jesus today, if you're a Christian today, you've got a Galilee moment just like that. You were just going through life. You were living in sin, living in darkness. And one day, Jesus came knocking on the door of your heart, and you heard the divine call, and he said, follow me. It wasn't just telling you he wanted to take you to heaven one day, but follow me all the rest of the days of your life, and if you do, I'm going to make you to become something supernatural. That's how it was. It all began for them in Galilee. And that's why Jesus took them back after all the turmoil of good, bad Friday. He took them back because there's something, folks, about going back when you've been hurt, back when you've been shattered, back when your faith has been shaken. There's something about going back. Jesus knew, I'm going to have to reconnect them to the memories of when I first approached their life. And he does the same thing with you and me. There's something about going back and remembering the first call, the first touch, the first word he spoke to you, that first decision when you said, I'm going to follow the Lord. I remember it like it was yesterday. Jesus brought them back to the starting point. And my wood for the fire today is some of you who are shaken, distant from God, have kind of disconnected. You don't have the fire you used to have, don't have the zeal you used to have. There's something about going back and remembering, taking a trip down memory lane. But Galilee wasn't just the place where they first met Jesus. It was also the first place they had seen his miracles and seen his power and heard his message. Now remember, they start just following him based on that word, follow me, and I'm going to make you to become. So based on that, I'm going to make you to become, follow me. They're following, and he goes into a town. He goes into a town, and all of a sudden, demons start speaking out of a man. He flushes the devil out of hiding. He walks into a place, and the demons begin to cry out. Demons never happened in the Bible. Nowhere in the history of the Word of God had this ever happened. The hidden enemy, the foe and the arch enemy of all mankind was flushed out of hiding at the very presence of Messiah Jesus. And they began to cry out, have you come to torment us before the time? Now here's Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. Have you come to torment us before the time? Jesus said, shut up and come out of him. And wah, and he was out. Now they're sitting there going, hold my hand, John. Hold my hand, Andrew. What are we watching here? See, follow me, and I'm going to make you to become. And then he reached out and touched lepers and healed them. And then he reached out and touched sick folk and healed them. Listen to what the Bible says. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. And these four original disciples who were just told, follow me, were seeing all of this. Firsthand, front row tickets to the miracles of Jesus. In Galilee, they'd heard his kingdom teaching. They heard his gospel preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They'd seen his miraculous healing. All of Jesus' ministry was launched in Galilee, where he told them to reconnect with him. Mark records, immediately, his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now, here's what happened to these men. It was while hearing and watching Jesus in Galilee that the disciples' faith had grown, their hope was ignited, their expectation of a wonderful new world to come was born. It happened in the early days in Galilee. But then there was the crucifixion. Right when they thought that Jesus was going to take over the Roman world, subdue the cruel Romans, and set up the millennial kingdom of Christ, that's what they thought he was going to do. They just knew Jesus was going to subdue the oppressive Romans, put them out of business, and rule a brand new kingdom where they could be free and have peace and have joy, finally. And then they arrest him. And then they beat him. And then they crucify him. And then their hope dies. That's why Jesus took them back to where it all began. You will see me in Galilee meant more than just you're going to see my form or you're going to see me personally. That's not what it meant. It meant in Galilee, guys, you're going to recoup your faith, remember your roots, reignite your hope, reconnect with me. You're going to re-see me. You're going to remember from whence you have come. It's a good thing to go back. There was a classic Andre Crouch song that we used to sing all the time in the 70s. It went like this. It's about this very thing. Take me back, the song starts. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you, Galilee. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. The song goes on, I feel that I'm so far from you, Lord, but still I hear you calling me. Those simple things that I once knew, those memories are drawing me. I must confess, Lord, I've been blessed, but still my soul isn't satisfied. Renew my strength, restore my joy, and dry my weeping eyes. And how will that happen? Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. That song is all about going back to Galilee, reconnecting with the memories, with the first things Jesus did. The first time you saw him, the first time you heard him, the first time you made up your mind to follow him, the first time you saw his power. Revisiting those defining moments is what Galilee is all about. When God moved us, when he called us, when he changed us, when he lifted us, when he ignited our hearts. Do you remember that time? When he gave us a dream. It's then that we reconnect with our purpose and get back in the game. See, they'd have been no good in Jerusalem if they hadn't made a pit stop in Galilee. About 11 years ago, Kathy and I went through hell and back. A terrible, difficult time. Deep, deep valley. So much so that we despaired that we would ever be in ministry again. That we would ever continue on in ministry. And I was out praying and seeking God one day. And I just got an idea. And I said, I'm going to do it. I got in my car. Here's what I did. I got in my car. And I drove to Dallas to this house. It was the house where I was first asked to teach a Bible study, first asked to actually stand in front of people and minister the Word of God, and I went back. I went back to my Galilee. I went back. I took a visit. I took a drive down memory lane, and I went back. And I parked outside this house. I parked outside the house, and I just looked at it. And as I looked at it, I remembered back when this man first tapped me on the shoulder and said, Jeff, I'm going to medical school, and God has told me you're supposed to teach this Bible study. shocked me, scared me, terrified me. I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep. I had no self-confidence to stand in front of people and teach anything. I said, you got the wrong guy, Ron. That's what I told him. You got the wrong guy. He said, no, I don't. And if you're not here, nobody's going to be here, and that's going to look bad, so you'll be here. So I had to learn to open up that Bible. I said, Lord, what in the world? I don't even know how to put together a message. And I remember I looked at Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, and the Holy Spirit rose up in me and said, that's what you're going to teach. And I went back. I went back to that time when the Spirit of God had fallen upon me, when the Lord had rocked my world, when Jesus had changed my life, when I saw the power of God move, when I saw people healed, when I saw multitudes of people saved, when I went to the juvenile home twice a week for 4 years and saw hundreds and hundreds of teenagers saved, just like I had been. I went back to Galilee, and I didn't stop there. I drove all the way to East Texas, and I drove around my first church when I was 30 years old, when there wasn't a gray hair in my head, and I weighed about 165 pounds. Oh, those were the days. And nobody knew that I was in town. I just drove around the building, and I thought back to that very first Sunday of my very first church when we had put it in the little East Texas paper that we were going to have a service, and we had sent the word out, and me and the guy that was my associate pastor, we were staring out the window, and when cars started to come in, we bumped each other and said, look at that, cars are coming. We are going to have church today. And I remembered back the way God built that church and gave us a church of 500 people in a town of 1,600 people. And I remember the power of God and the blessing of God and the favor of God. And you know what it did? Jesus spoke to me and said, there's your roots. There's your Galilee. Remember what I did in you and what I did through you. And that's who you are. You are not what people say you are. You are what I say you are. And you are what my purpose is for you. And I reconnected with my calling. I knew who I was in God. And thank God, He empowered me and strengthened me to return to Jerusalem. And we are not in Galilee today, folks. We are in Jerusalem. This is Jerusalem, and we're about to rock our world. Yes, sir. Scripture records the result of their Galilee visit. It was in Galilee the famous confrontation happened between Jesus and Peter. Peter, do you love me? Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Peter, are you sure you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Peter, do you even like me as a friend? It says he was grieved in his heart and said, Lord, you know that I at least like you like a friend. Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. For every denial he had made of Jesus, he was able to make a positive affirmation of his love for Jesus. Three denials, three affirmations, and Jesus restored Simon Peter in Galilee. It was as those two disciples, one of them called Cleopas, the other one we don't know his name, were going the direction of Galilee through that little town called Emmaus that they encountered the risen Savior and were restored in their faith on the way to Galilee. And at the Sea of Galilee, the risen Jesus appeared on the seashore once again. He cried out to Peter and them who had returned to fishing, and they had fished all night and caught nothing. And he appeared just like he had 3 years before and said, throw the net on the right side. They threw the net on the right side and couldn't bring in all the fish they had caught. And they connected the dots and said, that's Jesus. It's the Lord. And their memory, their revisiting, their returning to their roots, recalibrated their faith and their walk. Their faith restored, their hope aflame, their zeal ignited. The disciples returned to Galilee, to Jerusalem, went into that upper room, waited on the power of the Holy Spirit to fall. And when he fell, those men who just days before had been completely shattered and broken were filled with the Holy Spirit and went and turned the world upside down.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. We are so glad to have you here with us today. Before you touch that dial, we would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Every time God uses the ministry of Life Talk to transform a life by the power of Jesus Christ, it's because somebody like you gave financially and helped make it possible. Life Talk's daily program is listener supported. So if you're interested in supporting this ministry, call us toll free at 877 877- 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. And there you can make a donation to empower Life Talk to continue transforming lives with the power of the gospel. Once again, visit us online at lifetalkradio.us or call us toll-free at 877-884-3111 and give your best gift today. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for another exciting message entitled The Arrow of Providence. In this exciting sermon series, we call Wood for the Fire. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.